Amen and good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I want to welcome you to our service today. Today we have special guests with us today. Adult Teen Challenge is always with us every year after Thanksgiving. And so they're with us here again today, and it's such a blessing to have them with us. We've been doing a food drive for them, and so you guys, Clay, are going to take all that back with you. There's also probably some Walmart gift cards you guys are going to take back with you. And then we're going to take up a love offering for this ministry. And I'll let Clay explain it because he can explain it better than I can. But we've been supporting this ministry, I don't know, somewhere between 10, 11, 12, 13 years, almost since the day we started this church. And it's a great ministry to be part of. It's a ministry with people that have different kinds of addictions. And the thing that's so great about Adult Teen Challenge is these guys are getting discipled every day for a year. And that's one of the things that's so powerful, is because they're in God's Word, they're worshiping God every day for an entire year. And if you've been with us very long, you know some of the people right here in HICO that have been blessed tremendously by going through this program. And so it's our pleasure to have you guys. Thank you for being with us today and sharing the Lord Jesus with us today. We're looking forward to you guys getting up here, singing, sharing your testimony, so on and so forth. So if you want to be part of the love offering to this ministry, write out your check to Grace Bible Fellowship, and in the memo, put Adult Teen Challenge. And then we will send them one big check to Adult Teen Challenge. And that makes it easier on everybody, okay? All right, before we continue to worship the Lord, let's all bow our heads and let's just go to the Lord. Get in your inner room with God. You and the Lord in your heart. And, you know, there's not a person alive that doesn't have a hurt. There's not one of us in here that doesn't have a problem. There's not one of us in here that doesn't have a challenge that we don't know how we're going to face. And so what we want to do right now, though, is we want to take all of those things in the quietness of this moment, just you with God. Whatever stuff you have going on in your life, lay it at the feet of Jesus. And commit this next hour to just bringing glory and honor to Him. So I want to submit to you this morning that for the next hour, we just let Him be God. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and we thank you for this precious time that we have together as your family, as your children. We thank you for the incredible sacrifice that you have made on the cross, through your death on the cross and your resurrection from the grave, to free all of us from sin, to free us from death, to make us your children, to make a way for us to be able to come back into a right relationship with God for all eternity. We thank you for loving us so much that you couldn't bear the thought of spending eternity without us. And so you sacrificed yourself on the cross for us, and we thank you and praise you for that today. And Lord, every one of us in here has a challenge. Every one of us in here has a need, has a hurt, has a problem. But my prayer today is for the next hour, we would just take all of those things, lay them at your feet, and love you, and worship you, and trust you to be God as we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in this worship service this morning. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus Christ, and we pray all these things for your glory. Amen. Clay, you come, please, sir, if you will, and introduce your group.
Good morning. My name is Clay Whitaker, And I've been privileged to be on staff at Adult and Teen Challenge at our men's campus in Azle for a little over 4 years. So your support of our ministry goes beyond my time with it. You predate me by several years, and thank you for it. But I've been privileged to come here the last few years, and it's such a blessing to come and be with you good folks at HICO. I love coming here, and I thank you. I think I can speak for all of us. We thank you for the great support you've been to our ministry over these years. We can't make it without good people like you all coming alongside with your prayers and your gifts and your friendship. We really appreciate it. It is, Pastor Chris was right, it's a year ministry. It's a discipleship program, first and foremost. We want to get people clean from life-controlling issues, but that's not enough. We want to help them know Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit in their lives. And we want to help them cultivate daily habits that are conducive for bearing fruit for Christ. After that year's time, we want to see them go on, be restored to their families, their marriages, or wherever God may lead them. We want to see them go and be Spirit-filled, sold-out believers for Jesus, bearing fruit for Him and making a difference for the kingdom of God. So that's what we're all about. And it's voluntary for most of our students. They come in because they choose to. They want to get help. And what a blessing. And I think it's a compliment to the men who come because they're willing to say, pardon me, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get on the right track with God. So that's a good place to be. Sometimes they leave. We can't make them stay. It's not a prison. So if they leave, they leave. We'll try to talk them out of it, try to help them think through what they're going through, but we can't make them stay. But for those who do, we have a great recidivism rate. It's one of the highest, I think the highest of all ministries like this and programs like this for those who stay and graduate. So we got a great group today, and we're going to have a good time. Guys, come on up. Step over to that mic and help me with this first song. Landon, you come right out front here. You can use this mic. I'll give it to you in just a minute. Jesus said in Mark 1, verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. We're in a great season, aren't we, folks? We're coming through the Thanksgiving season, and now we're on the threshold of Advent, anticipating the annual celebration of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great season, but one season that's still lasting year-round. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus announced that, and we're going to declare it together. So I want to show you how this works. We will say a line, and then Landon's going to guide you in how to repeat it. We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
You see?
Just like that.
You got to do it just like that. So, try it with him. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. Among you.
Among you.
See, you're getting it. I think you're ready. The time is fulfilled.
You go ahead and hold that.
I will.
Now, first of all, we're just gonna go hand clapping when we get to the first. I'll help you. One, two, ready.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
We declare that the kingdom of God is
here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Among you.
among you.
Among you.
Among you.
We declare that the kingdom of God is
we
here.
We declare that the kingdom of God is
we
here.
We declare that the kingdom of God is
we
here.
We declare that the kingdom of God
among
is here.
Among you.
Among you.
Among you.
Among you. Of God is
among
here.
You,
among you.
Good to declare that. It's the season of the kingdom, and where Jesus reigns and rules, the kingdom is right there.
Amen.
So you are conduits of that kingdom as you allow him to be Lord in your life. You take that atmosphere with you wherever you go. The kingdom of God is here. We're the most privileged people on the face of the earth. Do you know that this morning? To be able to take up the cross and say the name of Jesus and declare we're followers from the man of Galilee, the one who laid his life down for us. We're his followers, and we get to be conduits of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Well, we got a song of thanksgiving this morning that we get from House Fires. It's a great song, and you have a part in this as well. So we're going to give you a little practice on this. The soloist will take the first line. If we could have the first slide up of there, please. There we go. You'll hear the soloist, and then we take the part that's a little bolder. We'll sing his never-ending love is steadfast and sure. So let's show you how it goes. Go ahead, Mr. Soloist.
He sent his son to die and rise again to save us.
His never-ending love is steadfast and sure.
He's broken our chains and given us freedom.
Give thanks to God, for he is good.
There it is. What do you think? So now you know your part. We'll be together all through this. We've got four different soloists. So number three and four, when it's your turn, you go to the nearest mic, okay? Okay, here we go. Ethan, come on out a little bit. You're number two.
He sent his son to die and rise again to save us.
Never-ending love is steadfast and sure.
He's broken our chains in giving us freedom.
Give thanks to God, for He is good.
In Him we are alive, and our joy everlasting. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. He casts out all fear and fills us with courage.
Give thanks to God, for He is good.
When storms come raging, His peace overwhelms us.
Never-ending love is steadfast and sure.
The Lord is our refuge when trouble surrounds us.
Give thanks to God.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. He's always pouring out His abundant provision. For the depths of His riches and incredible wisdom.
Shine down
and give thanks to God, for He is good.
Our first testimony, Mr. Ethan Farr, if you will step on forward. And Ricky.
God, I pray for my brother, Father God. I pray for his family. I pray for all my brothers. I pray for the whole congregation, Father God. I pray that we can all be able to change in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so hi. I'm Ethan Farr. I was born in Kansas. I was raised in Missouri. My parents are religious. I was raised in a church my entire life. I actually gave my life to Christ when I was like 11 years old. I remember very intently being an excited little child, jumping out of my bunk bed and running to my parents to let them know that I'd given my life to God. But I have 10 brothers and, well, I have 7 brothers and 2 sisters. I'm from a very large family, and growing up was very rough. My older 2 brothers decided that we should be raised very aggressively, so I was raised very violently. I was taught to fight. I was taught that showing your emotions and being, you know, emotional at all was weakness and it was not okay. I was both physically abused and mentally abused my entire life. I met a young girl when I was about 18. And we had my first child and we got married. After that, I had about 3 more children, but my wife was an alcoholic. And I spent the next 10 years trying to save my marriage. Being in and out of my children's life, kept at bay from my children for a long periods of time where she just wouldn't want me around because it was all my fault. I was the problem for many years. After that, I spent about 2 years in prison for a domestic assault that I didn't do, that my wife claimed to the legal system that I did. After that 2 years, during that process and time, my wife lost my children to DFS, which is Missouri's, you know, department. Takes care of children. You guys call it CPS around here, but my children were lost to them. Luckily, my parents got involved and were able to save my children from actually going to the system. But I came out of prison to being on parole and not being able to really be in my children's lives very much. And so instead of doing what I knew I should have done, which is get a job like I normally would do and do things right, I went immediately to selling drugs and running the streets. That was something that I had learned a long time ago that I never really used, but it's the avenue I chose. Coming out of prison was selling fentanyl and using fentanyl on a regular basis, and I did that for about 3 years. I was in and out of hotels, using all the time, and then one day I woke up and wasn't able to pay for my room. My family had cut me off. They didn't really want to help me out in any way. And my little brother, I called him and I asked him for help, asked him to come pick me up, see if he would, you know, pay for my room. And he initially refused. And then about an hour later, he said, he asked where I was and came and scooped me up to help me out. Then he tried putting me in a hotel and screwed up the reservation twice. And then he was like, well, we can go back home where we're from, the town we lived in, if you want to help there. And that started me getting clean. I spent about a week straight to almost 10 days going through withdrawals. At the end of that, I just told my family I wanted to go get help. I didn't know where. A friend of mine was going to help me go to a treatment in Kansas City, but he backed out. And then my brother recommended Teen Challenge, my eldest brother. And so I selected a Teen Challenge in Texas. And I never heard of it. I'd heard of Teen Challenge like once or twice, but I'd never been to one. I never really even thought about it. And I picked one in Texas. And I picked Azle of all Teen Challenges in Texas. I picked one of the smallest ones I could find, unintentionally. I just went through the list. This is where I have found myself. Since I have been here, I've been able to, God has helped me. Me and my relationship with God has changed a lot. I was running from Christ before coming here to this program. Very intently when I first came to the program, a lot of the staff, you can ask them, I very much told them I was not doing the Christ thing. I was not having it. I would attend the program, but I wasn't really into the religious side of it. That has changed a lot since I've been here. God has used this program to help strengthen my relationship with Him. He's even used this program to help me see the experiences of life that I've gone through, like being falsely incarcerated, not being around my children, and lots of struggles that I have been through have been lessons that He has used to help strengthen me in situations where I can help other people, where I can be encouraging to people that have been through experiences just like mine. And it's been very good for me since I've been here.
Awesome. How long have you been with the program?
I am about to be in my sixth, seventh month. I've been here, I'm almost
about halfway
through the program, yep.
And what do you see Jesus doing in your life today?
I see Jesus strengthening a lot of the relationships. I have a huge family. We just got together recently for a loss that we had. One of my adopted brother of mine passed. But it was the first time all 10 of us has gotten together, and there was not conflict, there was not fighting, there was not arguing, there was not drinking. My family has been, the response from my family of seeing me actually be healthy and be in a program and actually be doing great was really shocking to me. They were super happy, and everybody they just couldn't stop telling me how proud they were.
So you're seeing some healing with your family.
Yeah, especially related to multiple of my siblings. There's a lot of healing related to my family that just wasn't going to be there.
And what about with your kids?
That's an interesting one. My ex-wife was going to spend Christmas and Thanksgiving with my children, and while I was gone, my son directly requested that I come back for me instead of his mother, and that was really hard but it was nice to hear him ask to spend that time with me, even though, you know, his mother had already asked to have them, and they were already excited about spending it with her. He wants to spend it with me instead of spending it with his mom.
Do you see a future for you and your kids as their dad?
I do.
Give thanks to God.
I want to get Theo Tran. Go on over to that microphone by Courtney, if you would. That microphone. Theo. Yeah. And Reese, I want you to have a prayer for him, if you would.
My name is Theo, and as you can tell, I'm not from here. I'm from the islands of Hawaii, and the reason why I'm here is really a God thing. God is a new part of my life. Back home, I was living super turbulent, developed a heavy cocaine addiction, and just wasn't living right. Got involved in organized crime. One night, I found myself in the back of a police cruiser, handcuffed, facing a felony gun charge, and they confiscated my race car that I was living out of. And for a long time, I was like, you know, as long as I got my race car, I'm sleeping in it, and I can get drugs, I'm good. And I was a software engineer, so I was making good money and still wasn't able to, I had an easy job, really, and still didn't sustain that. I just wanted to live for myself, was having problems with my marriage, and I used drugs and women to comfort me. Anyways, I remember before I was homeless, I was living with this girl that I met on a dating app, and I remember just living with her just to have a place to stay. And I remember one night I had this like this conviction in my heart, and I was like, I knew I still loved my wife, but we were having problems, which stemmed from my drug addiction. But I made this decision. I said, you know what, like I just had bad luck all around, and I told myself, I'm like, okay, you know, I kind of know what's going on. You know, I'm kind of living like a, you know, like a really bad person, and this is why I'm getting bad results. And I remember telling myself that I felt bad for doing that to that girl that I was living with, and I also felt bad because I wasn't being good to my marriage, to my wife. And so I remember forcing myself, I told myself, okay, just be homeless. Like, I had already stolen from my family and my wife's family, so I couldn't live at either places. And I told myself, okay, I'm gonna be homeless, but at least I'll have like a good conscience while I'm doing it. And that's why I really think, you know, they say like, draw closer to God and he will draw near to you. Ever since I did that, you know, things happen, you know, sequence of events. I'm in a squad car and I'm getting ready to go to prison for a very serious gun charge. And for some reason, the sergeant at the last minute walks up to me, and I'm in handcuffs already, and like all the rookies they're excited to take me to jail. They don't like me. They've already been called like a couple times to come get me. But like he tells me, Theo, I'm going to unarrest you, but I think you're at a weird point in your life where I need to confiscate your gun and I need to confiscate your car. And I really don't know why he did that, but I think, you know, like they say, God works through people. Anyways, so I was living out of my car. So I was about to really be homeless and like live on the beach. And I remember I asked my wife to help me get a hotel, and she could only afford like, you know, the last two nights. And I remember the night before checkout, I actually cried out to God, and I made him some kind of deal along the lines of like, God, like, I really don't want to be homeless. If you help me, like, I said something along the lines of like, I promise I'll live by your word or something. And little did I know, God was like, bet. I'm gonna make sure that I keep my end of that bargain, and I'm gonna make sure you keep yours. And the next morning, my auntie and my mom are coming to meet me at the hotel lobby to give me a blanket so I could sleep on the beach. And they said, well, to my surprise, when they met me, my auntie says, you can either take this blanket and be a bum, because you're not coming home, or you can talk to this person on the phone. And the person on the phone was a staff member at Adult and Teen Challenge. And he said, my name is Long. He said, I know your family. And he said, this program is hard. If you want to come to Texas, you know, you'll have a place to stay, a place to sleep. Amen. If you're tired of being homeless. And he said, the program is very hard, but if you give it a chance, it'll change your life. And you'll meet friends that will become your true brothers in life. And that's everybody standing around me right now. So I said, okay, all right, I'll do it. And little did I know, I would end up at a ministry. And since then, you know, I've gotten clean. I really can't believe that I'm clean right now. I came in like 30 pounds lighter than I am right now. And I remember having moments where I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get clean. I think like I'm just going to be an addict for that. And I'm just super grateful. Like since then, I've been baptized in Texas. And yeah, God has done.
Next best thing to the Jordan River.
Yeah. But God has done amazing things in my life so far, and I'm truly grateful to be in this program.
Theo, how long have you been with us now?
I'm in my fifth month now, and it's crazy because I almost have no option but to do this because they kind of just flew with me and left me in Texas. So,
are the communication lines open with your wife?
Yes. Yeah. My wife started talking to me again. My relationship with my mom and the rest of my family has grown a lot stronger, and everybody's rooting for me. So, yeah, give thanks to God.
That's a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we begin to think again about what the coming of Christ means for all of us, I know you're going to read the passage about Mary. We always do. Great passage. And you remember her response once the angel had revealed to her what the Lord was going to do, that she would conceive and bear a child as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Her final comment was, "Be it unto me according to your word. Behold thy bondservant." And we're going to sing a song that features that theme, "Be it unto me according to your word." And it's a beautiful song. We want you to learn it. You'll see the words. Help us out, Landon.
May I be like Mary, open to the movements of your heart. Thank you.
words fall short when I think of you. Oh, I come alive loving you. I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you. Oh, I come alive loving you. I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you.
Next testimony, Zach Crawford, come on forward. And Stephen, would you offer prayer? Oh.
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us all gather here this morning. Just place your hand upon Zach, just give his testimony, and just Holy Spirit guide his heart, then what to say. And just thanks for us all being here today, this morning. I just need to pray, amen.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Zach Crawford. I'm from Waxahachie, Texas. A little bit about me real quick. In my younger 20s, I got mixed up with the wrong crowd. I come from a really good family. You know, I've never seen anybody drunk or high in my house. So I guess like kind of like when I left the coop, I thought that that would be the fun way to go. I worked or whatever, but slowly but surely, all that crashed and burned, and I ended up having to go to prison. But my mom and dad supported me the whole time I was there. And I come home, and like one good thing after another happened to me. And I met my wife, and we've got three kids together. And I had to show her that I would never, ever do any of that, any of those things that I the way I was living, because she had heard about me. We were from the same town. I wouldn't do that. You know, like I wouldn't show her that lifestyle. I wouldn't let the kids see that either. And for about 10 years, I did a pretty good job at that, and I slowly but started drinking, and then went from smoking a little bit of whatever, you know, and then inevitably I ended up going back to my drug of choice, and everything crashed and burned, and I ended up homeless, and like my wife, I hate to say it, even like she chased me for about 2.5 years in Dallas, Texas, a few times with my mother, coming to certain drug houses, trying to get me to come home, trying to get me to get help. You know, and
looking at these babies right here. My three-year-old is who saved me. God used her because I don't know if any of y'all have kids and y'all have a favorite. I know that's not supposed to happen, but my little one is my world. I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 3-year-old. The two oldest have seen a lot that they shouldn't have with me, but the little one, thank you. She hasn't, you know. And I'll just say this real quick. One day I went to my wife's work, And I asked her, I'd heard that she had a boyfriend. And mind you, she's been chasing me for 2 years, trying to get me to quit doing drugs. And, I mean, when I say drugs, I was shoving needles in my arms, like, bad, okay? And I know that's graphic, but this is just the reality of things. And my wife was just trying to save me. And anyways, I had heard that she had a boyfriend, and I had to go check and see if this was true, because I always thought I had her in my pocket, you know, because we've been together for 13 years. And she was like, yes, you know, it's the truth. You won't get help. You won't get clean. You're not supporting the kids. You won't help me with bills. We've been homeless due to your actions. We've been living at your mom's and sometimes in my car. So, yes. So I was going to go kill myself. I was going to go jump off the I-35 bridge and just end it because I thought I was a burden. But as soon as I got to the edge of the bridge, God put this vision of my daughter, my little three-year-old, calling another man dad. And so I stepped down off that bridge, and of course police showed up, you know, and they made me go to a psychiatric ward and all that. And then inevitably I get out and I go back to doing drugs again for about another week or so. But like God slapped me over the head again, and he's like, look, we just went through this. Like, I know this is not what you want to be doing. And my wife is a graduate of Teen Challenge, by the way. So she was continually trying to get me to come to Teen Challenge. I ended up submitting because I had nowhere else to turn. Like, they weren't letting me see my babies. They weren't letting me see my little girl. My mom, and I'm a mama's boy, and I don't know if there's any mama's boys in here that, like, their mama do anything for them in the world. That's my mom, you know, like, I'm her baby. Like, she'll do things for me that she didn't do for the others. Like, that's just my mom. And for my mom to tell me, no, you can't come home, or no, you can't come see your daughter at my house, that's painful for my mom, you know? So I just was like, you know what? I'm at the end of my road. I'm either going to go to prison, and I don't want to go there, or I'm going to die, and I don't want to go to hell. So I want to go get some help so that I can be that daddy, so that I can be that son. And then in my mind at that time, if Brittany's going to go be with that man, hopefully he's better to her than I was. So I prayed for both of them, you know? And through coming to Teen Challenge, even me and Miss Pastor Clay right here one day, like, we prayed that my wife, I get everything back, you know, and I did. My wife, I got my wife back. I got my kids back. I got my family back, all because of Jesus Christ. This past Thanksgiving was the first time, kind of like what Ethan was saying, that I've been home and coherent almost in 4 years, you know, not drunk, not on any kind of pills, not on any kind of drugs, just sober. I was there with my family. I remember it. It was great. Nobody fought. Nobody was mad at me. I did things that I remember, you know. So thank y'all for letting me share.
And Zach, you've been in the program about 6 months, right? 7 months, so he's more than halfway through. He's going to go into third phase in a few weeks. Our third phase is the final phase of our program of that year, and that's where our guys get jobs. And we help them find jobs, and we take them and pick them up every day. And they learn some things about budgeting, and we use Dave Ramsey's stuff on financial peace. You've probably heard of that. Try to help these guys, and they're able to start saving, can afford to do it. So he's getting close. And all through this time, Zach, how many times have you wanted to leave? He's worried about his wife and kids. She's on her own right now. And now she has a good job.
The Lord, we prayed for a specific job that it would be close to home, because she was traveling an hour and a half to go to work every day, getting up at 3, coming home at 7, the kids. So we prayed for a job close to home and enough money to take care of things until I got home. She's making $70,000 a year, and her job's 30 minutes away.
Have you got a reason to praise? Don't we all have a reason to praise today? Just think about it. Everybody's got a reason. Here we go. Thank you for having us. Pastor Chris, it's all yours. Come on down, guys. And I wanted to say, Pastor Chris, one of the ways your people could support is by sponsoring a student.
Okay.
For 35 low, 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 low dollars a month.
Yeah.
You could sponsor one of these men. Stand up a second, Theo. Just imagine having his face on your refrigerator. You could be a part of a student's life. You can write them, they'll write you back. You're not that far from us. Maybe you could come see them on some of the visiting times.
So if you're interested in sponsorship, see me afterwards and we'll help you with that.
Awesome. Thank you, Clark.